In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not rise up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Maybe, just maybe, things will be different this year. Maybe we won't hear of yet another mass shooting targeting members of the LGBTQ community. Maybe the wars with guns and bombs and words will end. Maybe, just maybe, diplomacy and decency will be how we deal with difference. Maybe nations will share of their abundance, and food, technology, and ingenuity will flow to the places of greatest need for the greatest common good. Maybe we will protect the soil and clean up the ocean and learn from the wisdom of elders. Maybe we will spend less time trying to flame each other on social media and more time loving each other's children. Maybe we will work on ourselves, examine our own biases, prejudices, triggers, and understand why we react the way we do before passing judgment on others for why they react the way that they do. Maybe we will reconcile relationships and forgive old grudges. Maybe we will delete that email before we hit send. Maybe we will say the words we need to say and do the things we need to do to release the pain that is poisoning us and our world from the inside out. Peace on earth, goodwill to all, that glorious song of old. Maybe, just maybe, things will be different this year. The prophet Isaiah holds up a vision of the longing of the human heart, where the instruments of war are beaten into the implements of nourishment. The drumbeat of violence and oppression gives way to a new song, a song that is already on our lips because it has been placed there by the Creator of all things. The prophet's vision is one of an inclusive journey, a pilgrimage where all nations and cultures and races are drawn to the mountain of God. And as the people draw near to God, God draws near to them with instruction, laws for life lived in harmony and with peace. As Jeremiah puts it, these laws are already written on our hearts. We just need to become aware of them. We just need to awaken to them. For when we do, they shall be like angel song for us. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God, and there will be actual difference in the way the world works. Iniquities will be balanced, shackles will be loosened, wrongs will be set to right. But if we don't embark together on the pilgrimage to the holy mountain, if we stay in the valleys of our complacency, if we sleepwalk through this life, unreconciled to the pain around us and within us, nothing will change. Nothing can change. No growth, no transformation, no elevation to our higher angels, like a scratched record looping through the same discordant tune. The future can only be a repetition of the past. The context in which the prophet Isaiah wrote the oracle that Ruth read for us was of war. The 8th century BCE, Syro-Ephraimitic War to be exact. This was a time where neighboring nations were trying to draw the kingdom of Judah into military alliances to oppose the Assyrian Empire. The goal was the same as with most human conflicts: build up enough armaments and soldiers and supplies to defeat the enemy and impose a peace through strength. But with the Syro-Ephraimitic War, the alliances failed and the Assyrians won, and they were the ones who dictated the terms of peace. Judah became a tributary state of the Assyrian Empire. The Temple of Jerusalem was robbed of its treasures, and the idols of Assyrian gods were erected in the city. It is a pattern that repeats endlessly throughout human history. The terms of peace are dictated by the victor of conflict. There is an imposition of rules and laws and dictates that keep the losing adversary in a place of weakness. There are certainly biblical examples of this, such as Joshua with the Gibeonites and Rome with the Maccabees, but we may be more familiar with modern examples like what the Allies did in Germany after World War I or the Americans in Iraq. But history has shown over and over again an imposed peace is rarely a true peace. The war in Iraq gave rise to ISIS. The rules that kept Germany weak were the soil in which Nazism could take root. Action, reaction, punch, counterpunch. The cycles of violence churn the chum, and there's always blood in the water. From the latest to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain, wails the prophet Jeremiah. They have treated the wound of my people carelessly, saying, "Peace, peace." But there is no peace. Maybe this year will be different. It is so hard to believe when we have been disappointed so many times before. Failed peace treaties, unjust justifications for war, corrupt and dishonest leaders. And even if we personally have never lifted a sword, we all know the destruction caused by division in our culture and in our families. We know the deep pain when people we love say they will do better, that they will change, and maybe they do for a time, but then old patterns emerge and we're right back where we started. So many empty words, so many broken promises, the record keeps on skipping again and again, and nothing seems to change. On this first Sunday in the season of Advent, we start a new church year. The cycle from Advent to Christmas to Epiphany to Pentecost to Lent to Easter to the very creatively named Ordinary Time, it all starts again today. The pilgrimage through the same 3-year lectionary cycle of biblical stories begins again this morning. And perhaps ironically, or perhaps in the great wisdom of our ancestors in the faith, this first Sunday in the season of Advent is concerned not as much with beginnings as with endings. Eschatology is the fancy Emmanuel College word for this. The study of endings, the end times, the end of the world, and how it is only out of endings that new beginnings become possible. This is forest fire theology, where the dead wood must be burned away for new shoots to emerge. The study of endings can be uncomfortable. It often speaks of judgment, which we generally steer clear of in mainline Christianity. Endings and change can be scary, especially if the world has treated us pretty well and we like things just the way they are, thank you very much. It's hard to know what to make of Jesus' eschatological teachings. And Matthew doesn't do us any favors with his interpretation, which is substantially different from Mark and Luke's versions of similar teachings. Matthew has Jesus talking about being swept away in floods and some being taken and some being left behind, and then a very confusing parable about a thief in the night. The new beginning is tied to the second coming of the Son of Man. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know when your Lord is coming. Now, there are three broad categories in which texts like Matthew 24 are understood. The first is that held on those on the more fundamentalist end of the Christian spectrum who anticipate a day when God's elect will be raptured. A small number of true believers will be lifted bodily to live with Jesus in heaven, and the retrobate will be left to incur God's wrath on earth. Another school of thought says that judgment comes not at the end of human history, but at the end of each human life. Think St. Peter at the pearly gates, looking over an account of everything you have done and left undone and pointing a finger towards one of two doors. Still another interpretation sees every day we live as a day of judgment. Or put another way, to believe that every day is an opportunity to live out God's vision for us. That angel song that has been written on our hearts since before we were born, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And if you like the poetic sound of that, hang tight, because here comes the hard bit. With each day we live, we must also be accountable to God's laws. We must be held up for judgment against something greater than ourselves. For if we simply follow the idols of our own pleasure, if we stay in the valleys of our complacency, if we sleepwalk through this life, we will suffer. We will suffer because we won't have the tools and resilience to properly deal with the pain we encounter. It will store up in our flesh. It will poison our mind and our soul, and it will leach back out into the world in harmful ways. The patterns of pain will persist. The cycles of conflict will continue. At this time of year, there is a temptation to get caught up in the happy, clappy, commercialized version of this season with the pretty decorations and the peppermint lattes. But if we fall into that temptation, if we sleepwalk through this season once again, seeking only some saccharinized version of peace on earth, goodwill to all, nothing will change. Nothing can ever change because we will not be changed. And so, in the days to come, just over the horizon of our hope-starved longing for something different, there rises a star in the east. And soon, so soon now, there will be a scream and a push and an exhausted mother will place a baby on her breast. O come, Emmanuel, come not to abolish but to fulfill, come root and key and king and holy flame, come to touch a dying world with new-made hands, come crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. And if that sounds familiar, it should, because we say it each week in our creed. For Christians, we proclaim Jesus, a Jewish child born in the usual way to a young woman named Mary, as a tangible, incarnate, historical, flesh and blood embodiment of God's desire for peace on earth. This child who comes as a refining fire to burn away the undergrowth of our complacency, who comes as a circuit breaker to show that the harmful cycles of violence and vengeance need not hold power over us, who comes to wake us up to the beauty and brokenness of this world and the preciousness of our life within it. With the heart of Christian faith, we humbly echo Isaiah's glorious song of old, claiming our hope for today that through Christ, God shall judge between the nations. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And here's the really radical bit. Here's why, by claiming Christ as our judge and our hope, real change may just be possible. Because this peacemaker does not come to exclusively ensure our advantage in the world. He does not come with sword or scepter for any one group's power or privilege. His is not a peace imposed in victory to subjugate anyone. The peace he brings is subversive and a contradiction and a critique of the way the world normally works. Peace I leave with you, he says, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Truly claiming Christ as our judge and hope requires us to set down our fears and to lay down our weapons, whether they be guns or words or actions, and to be vulnerable. As vulnerable as a baby on the breast under a starry, starry sky. Claiming Christ as judge and hope requires us to end the cycles of violence and retribution by having the spiritual strength to do as he did and not participate in them. To start new cycles of healing and humility and generosity by his grace and in his name. To start again each day with angel song on our lips. We have these next 4 weeks of Advent to draw near to God, even as God draws near to us, to prepare our hearts to fully encounter the birth of God once again into our lives. 4 weeks from hope to peace to joy and then to love, a virtuous cycle, each week building upon the other, all connected, all pointing to something, all going somewhere, somewhere just over the horizon of our longings, where a mother feels a twitch in her womb and an angel choir prepares their proclamation, that glorious, glorious song of old, peace on earth, goodwill to all, from heaven's all-gracious King. A blessed Advent to you. Amen.